And now, Kinalach, Moshe goes outside, and Hashem says, put your stick over Eretz Mitzrayim. And Moshe lifts up the stick, and the wind from the east starts to blow the whole day. And it starts to blow the whole night, a big wind. And it happened to be, Kinalach, it happened to be that this happened on Shabbos. And now it was Shabbos by day. Okay, the whole day and the whole night the wind was blowing out of Shabbos and Friday night. And now Shabbos by day, all of a sudden, there comes out from the east, carried by the wind, thousands and millions of grasshoppers. And it looks like a huge cloud, but it makes a noise. A cloud making a noise. And these grasshoppers now came down all over Mitzrayim, on every field and on every house, and they covered everything. And they went into the houses and they start flying all around and biting and eating up everything and in the fields and eating the plants and eating the trees and covering people. Now, how do we know it was Shabbos? It says, Vayonach. Vayonach means they came down and they rested. Now, what does it say by Kiddush? Vayonach Bayoyim Hashvi, right? Hashem rested on the seventh day. So it says, I think it's the Bala Turim that says, just like it says Vayonach by Shabbos, and it says Vayonach by the grasshoppers, so we learn out from this that the grasshoppers came on Shabbos. So while the Yidden were in Eretz Goshen making Kiddush and having a good Shabbos and a delicious piece of fishy and chicken and kugel and making a lachaim and singing the gunim, so they look out the window over Mitzrayim, and over Mitzrayim, Vayonach is going not with Kiddush and not with Shabbos, it's going with grasshoppers all over the Mitzrayim, covering them from head to toe. And what a Shabbos that was. And Kinalach Pari could not stand the grasshoppers all over him and going in his clothes and crawling all over him and over his head. And he calls for Moshe and Aaron, and he says, I did an Aveda, I sinned, I was bad. Please take away this terrible thing of grasshoppers. I can't stand it anymore. And now, Kinalach, the Eibishter blew the wind the other way. Instead of out of the east, now it's coming out of the west and it's blowing towards the east. And the wind is blowing so strong and it starts blowing the grasshoppers. Now, one thing the Mitzrayim thought was good about the Makkah, as terrible as it was, they said, at least we're going to have plenty of delicious food to eat from this Makkah. Now, the Mitzrayim, and some people even nowadays, one of the things they like to eat is grasshoppers. Now, instead of the kiddies coming home from school in some countries and mommy gives them cookies, or they have potato chips or pretzels, they say, Mommy, could I please have a plate of grasshoppers? I'm hungry. Oh, yes, here are the grasshoppers. Mmm, delicious, Mommy. I love these grasshoppers. They're so good. Now, do you know there are even 8 kinds of kosher grasshoppers? But we just don't, I mean, most people do not know exactly how to tell a kosher grasshopper or not. So most Yidden around the world do not eat grasshoppers. But apparently there are some Yidden somewhere that they have a certain tradition, which means they have a certain way to know exactly how a kosher grasshopper looks. And their Rabbanim tell them which one is kosher. And apparently somewhere in the world they might have kosher grasshoppers to eat. I don't know if you ever ate one. I don't know if we're allowed to eat them. Anyway, Kinalach. But the fact is that some places in the world, they even still eat grasshoppers. And in Mitzrayim, that was one of the delicious things they loved to eat, was grasshoppers. So the Mitzrayim said, what we're going to do, and what they started to do, they take jars, and they catch grasshoppers, and they put them in the jars, and they screw on the top, and they put it into the pantry, and they put it into the cupboards and on the shelves, and they say, we're going to keep these here, so even when the grasshoppers go away, like all the other makos, So we'll have plenty to eat. And anytime we want, we'll go and get a nice jar of grasshoppers and have a snack or have a nice lunch or a supper. Mmm, delicious. Better than popcorn. And when this wind started to blow, all of the grasshoppers start to blow into the Yam Suf, into the ocean. And the wind, like a vacuum cleaner, starts blowing, or like a vacuum cleaner on reverse, starts blowing every grasshopper away until they're all getting cleared out, until there was not even one left. And the Mitzrim that went into their pantries and their cupboards and open up to see the grasshoppers that they kept, and were very surprised. Even the ones that were in the jars got blown away and got thrown into the Yam Suf. And there was not even one grasshopper left in the whole Mitzrayim. And after the whole thing, Paroi became again very hard and mean, and he did not let the Jews go out of Mitzrayim. And next kinalach, on the stick, the ches is lighting up. You know what the ches is for? Choyshech, darkness. Moshe stuck out the stick over Mitzrayim, and it started to get dark in the middle of the day. But not just a dark like night, but so dark, a very, very special kind of a darkness. Now this makkah was divided into two main parts, and then there was a little part on the end. First, there were 3 days of just very special darkness, and the goyim could still walk around, they could still move, but they couldn't see anything. And then after that, there were 3 days of thick darkness. This was such a darkness that whoever was sitting down could not get up. And who was ever standing up could not sit down. And a person could not move. The darkness was so thick. And if a person had jumped up into the air, they couldn't jump down. And if they were falling off something, they never reached the ground because they got stuck in the middle. It was a thick darkness. Now, two things were going on during the darkness, during especially the first 3 days of darkness. One, a very happy thing, and a very sad thing also. Let's tell you the happy thing. Kinalach, do you remember when Yosef was in charge of the food during the hunger? People came from all over the world to buy the food. Now, there wasn't so much money in those days, but there were mostly silver and gold and jewels, and they traded. So they brought down silver, gold, and jewels, and they gave it to Yosef, and he gave them the food. And Yosef put the silver, gold, and jewels into certain big treasure houses, keeping it. What happened to that silver, gold, and jewels, Kinalach? The Mitzrim and Paroi stole it. And all over in the houses of Mitzrayim, so the Mitzrim had the silver and gold and jewels that really belonged to who? To Yosef and to the Yidden. And Hashem said to Moshe, before the Yidden go out to Mitzrayim, I want them to have back the silver, gold, and jewels that really belongs to the Yidden that the Goyim took for them. Now, how will they get it back? They're not just going to go take it, right? The Mitzrayim will not let them, or they'll get very upset, or there'll be fights, or they might call it stealing. So Hashem said, before they go to Mitzrayim, the Jews will go to the Mitzrim and they'll knock on a door of a Mitzri house and they'll say, excuse me, we're going out for a yontiv in the Midbar and we need all kinds of silver and gold and jewel things. We need, you know, silver plates and golden plates and cups. We need all kinds of fancy things to make our, we need all kinds of special things to make our yontiv. And we don't have anything ourselves, of course, because we were slaves. Do you think we could borrow from you some nice and silver and gold and nice things that you have? Just borrow it. Can we borrow from you? And that way, if they borrow it, so the Mitzrim will give it to them. Now, What's going to happen, of course, if a Yid goes to a Goy's house and says, can I borrow something? They might say, I don't have anything. What makes you think that I have anything? I don't have any silver, gold, or fancy stuff for you to borrow. Now, during the Choshech, during the darkness, the Yidden went over to the houses of the Mitzrim. And even by the Mitzrim, even though it was so dark, the Yidden could see. Because the Torah says, Hayo oyer b'moish voisam, wherever the Yidden were, there was light. There was light in their houses. There was light in Eretz Goshen. And there was light, even if a Yid went into the Goshen neighborhood, there was light for the Yid, and there was darkness for the Goy at the same time. And the Yidden walked into the Goyim's houses, and they were sitting over there on the couch or the chair, or they were just standing there, and you know they couldn't see anything. And the Yid walked right by, and he walked around the house, and he was carrying a pencil and a paper, and he wrote down, where is the golden cup, and where is the silver plate, and where are jewels, and where are fancy dishes, and where is the silverware, and in which drawer, and in which cupboard, and in which room. They didn't touch a thing. They didn't take anything. They just made a list. And later on, when it was time to borrow it, what did they do? They just went over to that house, and they knock on the door, and they ask to borrow the silver and gold and the nice things. And if the guy said, I don't have, they said, oh yes, in the dining room, in the second drawer, there's a beautiful golden plate. I would like to borrow that. And in the cupboard, on the second shelf, there are three bechers. That's perfect for myself and my sons. And upstairs, I saw a beautiful, beautiful necklace that maybe my wife could wear. Now, this is all stuff they took away from Jews. And when the Goyim heard the Yidden describing exactly what they had, they said, how do you know what we have? How do you know that? Oh, I came into your house during the Choshech when you were on the couch over there. You couldn't see anything. And the guy would say, so why didn't you just take it already? If you saw it, why didn't you take it? Why should I take it? That's stealing. I'm going to borrow it. You understand? So this was getting ready. Now, the other thing that happened, this was getting ready, of course, to go to Mitzrayim. The other thing was a very sad thing, but you have to understand it. The Jews were busy burying their own Yidden that passed away in the Choshech time. Now what happened was this. Now you have to listen to this very carefully. During the Choshech, out of every 5 Yidden, 4 Yidden passed away. Out of every 10 Yidden, 8 passed away. Out of every 100 Yidden, 80 passed away. Why? Now during that time in Eretz Goshen, the Yidden were talking. Do you really think that we'll really go out from Mitzrayim? Like Moshe says, we're going to go out of Mitzrayim? No, some Jews said. It's impossible. Don't you know it's impossible to leave Mitzrayim? We'll never get out. There's magic animals by the gates. You know, there used to be... It says like this. No slave ever escaped from Mitzrayim. It was impossible. There was a magic system of security around Mitzrayim. Now, there was certain gates. There were certain gates to get out of the country. Let's say a slave escaped from a certain gate, and that was the gate of the dog. What means the gate of the dog? That right outside the gate, there was a magic dog, like a statue. As soon as the slave ran out of that gate, the magic dog would know that the slave escaped, and by magic, all of the dogs of Mitzrayim would start to bark at one time. That was a sign to the police that somebody escaped from the gate of the magic dog. Because all the doggies are barking. So they would run to that gate and they would catch whoever escaped there. Now, that was one gate. There's another gate somewhere, that's the gate of the magic cat. Outside of that gate is a magic cat. If somebody escaped, what would happen? All the cats in Mitzrayim would start making cat noises and meowing. And the police would know, uh-oh, somebody is escaping through the gate of the magic cat. They would run and get him. And another gate had a magic birdie outside of it. And as soon as a slave would try to escape out there, all the birdies in Mitzrayim, all of a sudden, they're going tweet, tweet, and making birdie noises. And they would know that somebody is escaping by the gate of the magic birdie. And through these magic ways, no one ever was able to escape, because right away they would get caught. And the Yidden said, we're slaves so long, and, you know, we'll never escape. Another Yidden said, you know what? The slavery stopped. Now we are in Eretz Goshen. It's a beautiful land. We have our houses. We have our food. What do we have to escape for? Let's just stay here. We have it good. We have our parks. We have beautiful shopping and beautiful stores. We have delicious food. We have nice clothes. What do we have to go anywhere? To the Midbar we have to go? To the desert where there's biting spiders and snakes and it's hot and there's rocks? And what do we do out there anyway? Get the Torah? What does that mean? We're going to learn the whole day. We have to be busy learning the whole time. Here we're comfortable. Kinalach, do you know that out of every five Jews, four Jews did not want to go out, or they didn't believe they could go out? Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And those four out of five Jews did not listen to Moshe? And did not believe that they should go into the Midbar with Moshe Rabbeinu to get the Torah. And they didn't even want to go out. They said, let's stay here. Kinalach, does Hashem take care for free without you doing anything? Or you have to do at least something? If we do a little bit, Hashem helps a lot. But if we do absolutely nothing to help ourselves, can Hashem help us? Kinalach, it doesn't work that way, that you don't want to do anything and you don't want to listen and Hashem will still help you. It doesn't work like that. We have to try at least something to do for Hashem. And if we could at least do a little bit, Hashem is going to help a lot. These Yidden were not zeiche to go out of Mitzrayim and they died in Mitzrayim. What if they would have died while it was light and the Mitzrayim could see? Would it be a nice thing for them to see, or would it be an embarrassment for the Yidden? The Goyim would say, look, the Yidden are getting makos just like us. Hehe. And it would not look good for the Yidden, and the Goyim would feel, you know, like they're getting some kind of nakama or something. Hashem didn't want the Goyim to see, so he did it during the Choshech. That was dark, and the Mitzrayim could not see what was going on. So the Yidden were busy burying a lot of Jews. So only one out of five, two out of 10, 20 out of 100, 200 out of 1,000, that's all that was able to leave Mitzrayim. Because those are the ones that at least deep down inside they say, as much as we'd like to stay here in our nice homes, but we know that we have to go with Moshe. They knew that they had to listen to Hashem and go with Moshe Rabbeinu as much as they wanted to stay home. Now the Makkah of Choshech only lasted 6 days. 3 days of regular, but you know, I mean special darkness, but it wasn't the thick darkness. And 3 days of thick darkness. How much is three and three? Six. How long were the other Makkahs? 7 days. So wait a minute, why was this only six? It was also seven. So where was the seventh day? I'll let you say in the microphone.
Hashem kept it.
He kept it? Why did he keep it?
For the guy when they shoot the Yidden.
Okay, Hashem kept the seventh day and he gave it later by Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Okay, so in other words, it was 7 days, but the seventh day was kept for a little bit later. Now, Paroi called Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said, I can't stand this choshech, this darkness. I will let the Jews go, even with their kids. I'll let them go. But the sheep and the cows, the animals, you have to leave with me. You have to leave me the sheep and the cows and the animals. That way I know you're coming back. I don't want you to take the animals. And just go, the people and not the animals. And Moshe said, Paroi, not only we're going to go with our animals, but even you will give us from your animals that we should also take from your animals out. And we're going to make karbanos from your animals. And Paroi says, why do you have to take the animals? And Moshe says, because part of our Yantif for Hashem is karbanos. It's not just a yantif to have fun out there. We're not making a party out there. Hashem wants us to make karbanos. And karbanos comes from animals. And we don't know how many animals we're going to need until we get out there. So we have to go with our animals and with all of them to be ready for our yantif. So just know we're going everybody and everything with our animals and with our kids and with everybody. Paroi got very upset and very angry, and he says, you're going to get out of here. And not only that, but you're never going to see my face again. You're not going to come back again, so you better get ready to leave. And Moshe says to Paroi, you're right, Paroi. You're never going to see my face again, and I'll never see your face again. And Moshe says to Paroi, you're right. I'm never going to come back here to see your face again, that's for sure. It's going to be a little bit different than that. Now, while Moshe was standing by Paroi, Hashem gave a nevuah. Ruach HaKodesh came to Moshe, and Hashem says, Moshe, you're not going to come back here to the palace anymore. You're not going to come to see Paroi anymore. That's right. But right now, before you leave, you better warn Paroi of the last makah. And so Moshe spoke the words to Paroi, and he says, Paroi, you better know that there's going to be one last makah. This is number 10. And he holds up the stick and the base. Bechayrois. This is Bechayrois. See, you had an aleph over here by Arbe? Here's a base. Bechayrois. Firstborn. The firstborn in every home and every family is going to die. Kachatzois. At midnight. And he says, Kechatzois means like midnight, around midnight. Now he knew that Hashem would make the mako exactly at midnight. But what happens if their clocks are a little bit wrong? So the Mitzrim and the magicians, they might say, look, it's 12 o'clock midnight and Hashem didn't make any mako, so it's not going to happen. Or Hashem doesn't know how to tell time. Or Hashem has a broken watch or something. Now really, Hashem knows exactly the time. Whose watch would be wrong? Hashem's watch or the Mitzrim's watches? Hashem knows exactly the time. Hashem creates time. Hashem doesn't need a watch to know the time. Hashem creates it in the first place. Is a watch time or a watch only tells you what time it is?
A watch only tells you what time it is.
If you would stop the watch, it means time stops?
Yeah.
No. A watch or a clock only measures and tells you what time it is. But Hashem creates the time in the first place. So he says, kachatzois, around chatzois, so they're not going to make a mistake on their watches and say, look, Hashem didn't know when it's midnight. Then he says to Paroi that the firstborn of every house is going to die. And if the firstborn is not there, he's somewhere else, he'll die there. And if the firstborn already died, somebody else will die. And if you're going to try to hide somewhere, if the firstborn will hide somewhere, he'll also die. In every house, there's going to be somebody that dies. And it's going to be so terrible that your servants are going to run after me and beg me to let the Jews out of Mitzrayim if you don't do it now. Now, when Moshe said, your servants, he didn't really mean Pari's servants. You know what he meant? He meant Pari himself. He knew Paroi is going to run out of the palace in his pajamas down the street to find Moshe to beg them to go out of Mitzrayim. But he didn't tell Paroi that because it wouldn't be covered to tell the king that you're going to run out of your palace in your pajamas after me begging me. He said, your servants are going to run out from the palace finding me. Now, Kin Allah, it was the Shabbos before Pesach. Pesach happened on a Thursday. The going out of Mitzrayim happened on a Thursday. Now, in the Torah, in Parshas Boi, is the first mitzvah that Hashem gave the Jewish people. And that was that Rosh Chodesh Nissan is going to be the first Chodesh. That they should make Rosh Chodesh Nissan is going to be Chodesh number one. How do they do that? It's according to the new moon. The Chodesh means the new moon. Rosh Chodesh means the beginning of the new moon. Now, it's very interesting, Kin Allah. In our calendar are two beginnings of the year. There's Tishrei. What's the first day of Tishrei? Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year. But Tishrei is the seventh month. Nisan is the first month. Iyar is the second month. Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei. How come Rosh Hashanah is on the seventh month? And Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the first month. Because there's two beginnings of the year. The beginning of the month is Nisan, and the beginning of the year is in Tishrei. Now the first mitzvah of the Torah is to make Rosh Chodesh Nisan the first month. Then Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Yidden, Hashem said, we're going to make the Korban Pesach. Before we go out of Mitzrayim, every family, or a few families together, will share one animal, one korban, one shepselah. They have to make a korban Pesach before they go out of Mitzrayim. What do they do? So Moshe said that on Shabbos, this is the Shabbos before Pesach, the Yidden went out and they got shepselach from the field. They led the shepselach back to their house through the towns and through the cities and through the streets. And they were supposed to tie the shepselach to their bed until it's going to be time for the Korban Pesach that Wednesday night. Right before they go out to Mitzrayim, that Erev Pesach was going to be Wednesday, and Wednesday night was going to be Pesach into Thursday. Now the Shepselah was a Getchka of Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim held that the Shepselah was a Helika Getchka. And all of a sudden, the Yidden are leading their Getchkalach through the streets, taking them to their houses. And the Mitzrayim said, what's going on? Why are the Jews taking Shepselach, leading them through the streets? What are you doing with the Shepselach, our Getchkalach? And the Yidden said that we're taking them to shech them for a Korban Pesach. Because there's going to be one last Makah. There's going to be Makas Becheirois, where the firstborn get killed from every house in Mitzrayim. Is going to be the firstborn killed. And then we're going out of Mitzrayim. But before we do, we're going to have a Korban Pesach. And we're going to eat the flesh of the Korban Pesach. And we're going to eat matzah. And we're going to eat maror. And then we're going to all go free from Mitzrayim. After we do these things. And the Mitzrayim got scared because they knew that just like all the other things happened and the other Malkis happened, this is also going to happen.